You're listening to Let's Get Metaphysical. This podcast explores the spiritual and metaphysical world through the experiences and opinions of the host and those interviewed. It should not necessarily be seen as direct endorsement or personal advice to our listeners. We encourage you to use your own discernment, judgment, and intuition regarding anything you learn of through this show.
Let's get metaphysical.
Greetings, metaphysicians. Welcome to Let's Get Metaphysical. I'm your host, Renata Maniaci. Here is your reminder that you are a spiritual being having a human experience on this lovely planet Earth. So enjoy it. Our guest today is Barbara Evans, an intuitive energy healer, high vibrational healing artist, award-winning author, and creator of The Art of Raising Frequency. Barbara's deep sense of love for our planet Earth fires a passion for finding a new way of living and being within the world, a way based on wisdom, love, and compassion, which supports peace, unity, joy, abundance, and vibrant health. Born in England, Barbara graduated in biology and education from the universities of Liverpool and Cambridge. She has studied multiple alternative healing modalities and is a visionary healing artist, Reiki master, crystal resonance therapist, and ordained minister. The journey from biologist via high vibrational healing artist to creating a new modality within the realm of vibrational medicine has been intense and exciting. She now finds herself on a mission to bring this profound work, the art of raising frequency, to the world, where it can be easily integrated into a wide variety of healing approaches, supporting both practitioner and client. Barbara and I met several years ago at a Healing Touch Worldwide conference in Chicago, and we reconnected at the most recent Healing Touch Worldwide conference in San Diego, and were able to create time and space for us to have a Zoom call together for this interview. I'm so thrilled. Her art has inspired me since the moment I saw it. One in particular, the first painting I bought from her, they're all incredible, but this one really struck a chord deep within me at a point in my life when I needed to shift my direction, when I was shifting out of science and academia and into spirituality and holistic energy medicine. And of course, all of those things go together, but one of her paintings really kind of helps me to do that, and it's hard to explain, like, how can a piece of art, a work of art, help to shift you so profoundly into something different? And this really did. So I have been wanting to sit down with Barbara ever since then, and I really enjoyed this time with her, and I hope you do too.
Greetings, everybody. Greetings, listeners. Barbara, thank you so much for joining me today. How are you?
I am very good, thank you. And Renata, I am so delighted to be here with you. Thank you for inviting me.
I am so thrilled, Barbara. I have loved your work since the moment I laid eyes on it back in 2014 at a Healing Touch conference in Chicago. And, you know, we've become acquainted over those years, and I'm so thrilled to have you here today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm so excited to hear what you have to say about this. You've alluded to it a little bit, but would you please, Barbara, share with us a metaphysical experience that you've had in your life? Would you please share that with our listeners?
Yes, I would love to. So I do feel that my life is filled with metaphysical experiences, but there's one in particular that stands out that I would like to share with you today. And I chose this one because it was absolutely life-changing for me in that moment. It happened in September of 2003. I had made a spiritual commitment to create a piece of art for healing the waters of the earth, not just to be a pretty picture, but rather to make a significant difference to the healing of the waters of the planet. And that, of course, includes the water that is within our physical bodies. So I set the sacred space within my studio. I called in my guides, asking them to guide me in every aspect of the painting, to work through me. And then this is the piece that surprised me as I wrote my prayer down, and that if they cared to show themselves within the painting, to please do so. The painting took a week, and it was very intense work, the most intense that I had ever experienced in my life to that point. And then near the end, I was working on the final coat of the lapis-colored blue in the background, and there was an area of the paper where the paint just wouldn't stick. So I looked really carefully where this brush was not getting the paint on the paper, and there was a face. And instantaneously, as I saw the face, I knew it was Poseidon, the Greek god of the sea.
Wow.
So Poseidon was not someone I had ever imagined being one of my guides. So one could almost say he truly came out of the blue. And in that instant, I also knew that my life would never be the same again, because I asked the guides to come, and they did, and to show themselves, and they did. And so it truly was life-changing. And my journey creating this high vibrational art has just evolved from that particular day.
Wow. Wow. Barbara, when was that?
September 2003.
Oh my goodness. And honestly, like that just makes me want all of your art. I've always wanted all of your art, but just for our listeners, I have several paintings of Barbara's, and I don't have this particular one, but I know it. I can see it in my head. I know exactly which one it is. And now it just makes me want that one, especially with Poseidon's like energy all over it. How beautiful. Do you feel like you have these experiences a lot in creating your art?
I do. And in fact, I receive messages. So every aspect of every painting has been guided by a team of guides from the higher dimensions. Poseidon has come to be recognized by me as someone who is always there. But there are many other guides that I work with, and different guides will step forward for different paintings. So the information always comes from them. They are working through me as I'm painting. And occasionally faces show up. It's not in every single painting that there are faces that I see, but it happens quite frequently. And there are all sorts of other metaphysical type experiences that go along with the whole process of my work in the world.
Oh my goodness. Do you still see Poseidon's face when you look at that particular work of art?
Oh yes. There were other faces, because then I started to look, of course. There were so many faces in the blue of that background. The next one I saw was like a whole body picture of Mother Mary. I cannot find that one. That was like a one-time viewing for me. But there are other faces in there that I see, and there are faces in there that other people see. There are animals, all sorts of amazing, amazing things.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that piece. Mm-hmm. Barbara, you have been described as an intuitive energy healer, a high vibrational healing artist. I certainly see you as, you know, just this beautiful channel for spiritual arts and high vibrational healing art to come through. And I really loved a way that you described yourself. I'm going to recall that here. You said, "I like to think of myself as a cosmic alchemist who translates the frequencies of the higher dimensions into visible physical form that people can easily interact with the purpose of supporting humanity's journey of awakening to higher consciousness one person at a time." I love that. And I want to ask you, tell us more about what this means to you. What is it to be a high vibrational healing artist or a cosmic alchemist? What is that like for you, and how does that work for you?
So I feel that what I am doing is taking the frequencies from the higher dimensions and capturing them and bringing them into the artwork. There are several tools that help me to do that apart from the instructions that I receive, so that all of the art that I do is based on sacred geometry. So the sacred geometry designs are guiding. And I receive messages in words. So it's a bit like being given the instructions on how to make a complicated chocolate cake, but they don't give you a picture of the cake. You have to follow the words and you translate those words into your chocolate cake. I translate those words into the painting. And very often I will have gathered these instructions over maybe a period of months. And then I know when it's time to start, and I will sit at my table and I have my instructions in front of me, and it's like, okay, how am I going to do this?
Wow.
And then I start. And then when it's finished, which again, maybe months later, I will sit down again and I think, how did I do that? And yet somehow I did. And as well as the sacred geometry, I bring in the frequencies of many, many different crystals. And while I've been doing this and developing it, I have collected some incredibly beautiful, pure, rare crystals. Not all of them rare, but some of them very rare crystals. And their frequencies are able to contribute to the artwork as well. And so that enables people to interact with the frequencies of the crystals, even though they don't physically have a piece of that crystal in their hands. Which I think is a beautiful way of sharing crystal energies with people. I also will play alchemy crystal singing bowls while I'm painting, and often find myself with the crystal bowl standing on the painting. I'm playing it with my left hand while I'm painting with my right hand.
Wow. So you're bringing in sound and crystals and just lots of high vibrations. As we know, you know, listeners to this podcast are probably used to knowing that like sounds can bring in, you know, can clear the energy of a room and bring in really high vibrations, and as can, you know, crystals. And it's incredible what you're doing.
Yeah, it amazes me too.
Tell us how you actually use the crystals in this way. Do you lay them out as like kind of a grid? I've heard you talk about this before, and I wanted to ask you how you use those stones while you're creating.
And there's different levels. So I always paint within a crystal grid. So I will create a grid that is relevant to the creation of that particular painting. So the geometry of the grid will often reflect the geometry of the painting that's to be created. And I find that new crystals always come in when I'm about to do a new painting. So I've got crystals that I've been using back since 2003 when I did Healing the Waters of the Earth. And they sort of pop into everything. But then there's always new crystals bringing in new frequencies that I haven't worked with before. There's the grid. That's the foundation. And then there's what I call signature crystals. I will also lay some of the crystals, particularly the signature crystals, on the paper before I begin. And then I'm guided as to which crystal energy needs to go into which particular place on the painting. And so I choose the colors to represent that particular crystal. And as I hold the crystal in my hand, the energy sort of flows through me very much as Reiki energy can flow through somebody and into another person. The crystal energy flows through me, through my arm, through my brush, and into the painting.
Wow. And that makes a lot of sense to me, being somebody who uses energy medicine myself. That's a very intuitive thing. The energy comes up through the earth or through the universe and goes out and through my arms and into whoever I'm working on. And of course, it makes sense that you could channel the same or similar energy into a painting. And then, what I'm guessing is that it then, you know, it magnifies or amplifies into every copy of that painting. Am I right about that?
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Which is just fantastic. Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Barbara, what was your introduction into this kind of work? Have you always been an artist? When did this start for you?
I have most certainly not always been an artist. I had no idea that this was going to come my way. I trained at college, at university, as a biologist, and then I went into teaching. So I was teaching biology to 13 to 18-year-olds in the UK. And at that particular time, I wasn't really even aware that energy healing, in fact, I was not aware that energy healing existed. I seem to have grown up in a box that was relatively small in that sense. But in 1993, my father passed away, and that was a very devastating experience for me. And shortly after that, he firstly came to see me in a dream to tell me that he was okay. And it was a dream of such a different nature to a regular dream that I knew that I had met him that night. Right. And so that was, again, a life-changing point. And from then on, I started to notice synchronicities. And the synchronicities guided me to go and get some help from a lady who was a shiatsu practitioner.
Okay.
And so shiatsu uses the Chinese meridians, but with finger pressure instead of needles like an acupuncturist would use. And she also introduced me to flower essences and essential oils. She was absolutely amazing in my life and helped me to start to regain my health, which I had lost as my father was getting more and more sick before he left this world.
Right.
So that was my beginning into the world of energy. And I was just so excited as I was beginning to recover. She was teaching me while she was working on me. And I was collecting books and my own flower essences and my own essential oils. And it was only about 6 months after that first visit to her that my husband's job was relocated from the UK to the US. And he, I, and our three young children moved to the US.
Wow.
So I came with my own back flower essences, my own set of essential oils, my books on shiatsu, ready to really start to begin to take care of my own health. And then just a few months later, in my mailbox, appeared this pamphlet, Learn to Be a Shiatsu Practitioner.
Wow.
I mean, how often does that happen to people?
That is so interesting.
So, of course, I did. And then every time I touched somebody in a session, my hands would get hot and I didn't understand why. My teacher didn't understand why. And somebody whispered, when people do Reiki, their hands get hot. So off I went to study Reiki to discover why my hands were getting hot when I was doing my shiatsu sessions. And all the time I was still using my flower essences and my essential oils. And so this was all just like bubbling around me in the sort of mid-90s, I guess. And still no sign of any artwork at all on the horizon. Then it was my mother passing away 6 years after my father that set me on a whole new healing journey for myself. And 9 months after she had passed away, I knew I had to go and see a medium. And I flew back to the UK for a reading. Just before I had got on the plane to go back to the UK, I discovered sacred geometry. And that's a whole new story as to how that happened. But I discovered sacred geometry and had purchased the book, Ancient Secrets of the Flower of Life by Drumbolo Melchizedek. And so then I didn't have time to read it. I got on the plane, went to the UK. And at the end of the reading, Josephine, who was doing the reading for me, suddenly sort of almost like, how did she look at me? It was like something suddenly came to her at the end. And she looked directly at me and said, try drawing. I must have looked totally shocked at this suggestion because she said, don't look at me like that. just go away and do it. So then I find myself on the plane flying back to the US going, well, I'd really hoped to walk a labyrinth while I was in the UK, and I couldn't find one in the area I was. So I thought, she said to try drawing. I'm going to go home and paint a labyrinth. So I painted this golden labyrinth on a rainbow sky. And as I did that, I could feel the universal energies coming through me and into the painting. And there was this knowing that the art that I was going to create was not only to help facilitate my own healing journey, but was for humanity as well, and would help many, many people with their healing, with their awakening, and with the raising of their consciousness.
That is incredible, Barbara. I had no idea about your background back in England and being a teacher and moving to the US, and the US coinciding kind of with this separation between what you did and what you have been moving into. I mean, that's just incredible. I mean, and it sounds like, I had an episode a few episodes ago about dreams and got into what I call dream dreams, which I guess should be called like mind dreams or ego dreams, and what I call soul dreams. And it sounds like, as sad, you know, as the transition with your father was, it was a catalyst for you to get into this whole world, which is really beautiful.
Yes, it is. I mean, it was certainly the gift that I found within the tragedy. Yes.
How amazing. I'm blown away. I didn't realize that, you know, the US was very much where you like started into energy work, and that somebody just told you, go home and draw, you know, don't even, you know, stop looking at me like that. Go draw.
Right. I know.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's really
amazing. And in fact, last week I had the opportunity to go and visit Josephine again. And I said to her, do you realize it's 20 years this year since you gave me that message?
And wow.
So she has been following me ever since. So
I'm sure.
Knows pretty much what I'm up to.
Wow. Well, I mean, happy anniversary, first of all.
Thank you.
Happy 20th anniversary. And what a beautiful connection to still have with somebody who gave you that information. You know, it's amazing when we have people that have, even if they didn't even know, you know, that they brought forward this huge shift about in us. And I've seen that over and over in my life, even just with old friends and new acquaintances, like somebody will say something and then it just changes the course of your life. And that in itself is a metaphysical spiritual experience that is really, really powerful, and we don't even know at the time that it's happened, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's see. There's so many things I want to ask you. One is, you know, how have you seen your artwork be helpful for folks, and for whom? And I guess I want to jump in before I even give you the opportunity to ask that. And my own experience with your artwork was, my first painting that I bought from you was Creating the New Dream. And I was so drawn to it. And in that moment of my life, like I had just gone through a really shocking breakup that I had no idea was coming. And so even the title of that painting really touched me. And I hung it over my bed when I got home. And it was very comforting to me. And I loved the colors and I loved looking at it. And I still love looking at it. And so I guess I'm answering that question for myself. But for you, Barbara, how have you seen your artwork be helpful for people? And, you know, is there any type of person that is drawn to this, or is it all kinds?
I think it's very much all kinds. I think there is benefit for everybody. A lot of people who are consciously on their journey of spiritual awakening are the people who are most likely to be attracted to my work. And if people are attracted to it, then it holds benefit for them. Just simply having some of it in the room helps to raise the vibration of the room. So it's what I call, it helps to set the vibrations for healing within a space. And that is very advantageous, because then every time you step into that room, that energy is inviting you to step up and to get more in touch with your true essence, more able to express that essence and be your best self. So originally, of course, it was artwork, and they were printed in different sizes on both paper and canvas, and people would put the artwork up into their living space and workspace. Then I met a lady who was making healing gifts, and she said to me, if we put your artwork in my disc, the results would be phenomenal. Should we try?
Wow.
And so we did, and I feel as if the results are phenomenal. So we now have these healing discs, and they're available in two sizes, both 3-inch and 6-inch. So the 3-inch are very beautiful to hold in your hand. You can hold them to the body. If you are an energy work practitioner, you can incorporate them both into your self-care, but also integrate it into treatment sessions so that they're used in the treatment session. Some practitioners, a chiropractor comes to mind, and he does not hand the discs to people or lay them on the people during his treatment sessions. He has them on a shelf, which he described to me as being at his eye level. And while he's working with his clients, he will look at a particular disc and bring that energy into the treatment. So there's many different ways of using them, but simply having them present is a very, very huge and significant step, which makes it very easy. They're very easy to integrate. They're easy to use. They're easy to incorporate into your self-care protocols. It's like, I almost think of it as the translation of the frequencies from the higher dimensions into the artwork was the hard work. They're already here. And so because they're already here, they're now easy for people to use and integrate into their life to help them to get in touch with that true essence. And as we do that, it helps us to raise our consciousness. If we raise our consciousness, whole different biochemical cascades take place that support our health and our well-being.
Yes, I have so many things to add to what you're saying right now, just because of my relationship with your art. I have, you know, just as this is for the listeners who don't know this, I have 3 pieces of your art, Barbara, in my living room, and I have 5 pieces of your art in my healing room, in my, which is my, it doubles as my healing room and my guest room. And everyone who walks into my space, most everyone comments on how wonderful it feels. And more than that, my favorite room in my home is my healing room, and everyone else's favorite room is my healing room as well. And it's not a coincidence that most, you know, I have more of your artwork in the healing room than anywhere else in the house, but also like that I know that it helps set the energy of my home into being one of high vibration and one of calm and one of peace. And it's so tangible that I'm now even thinking to myself, shoot, I need to get more of Barbara's art in my bedroom. I need to get more of Barbara's art in every other room that I don't actually have something of yours in. But it's such a tangible experience, not only for me, but for people who come into my home that, you know, mm-hmm. I just need to share that in this episode. And, you know, the other thing I wanted to say, of course, is that I have a slightly metaphysical experience to share in regards to you and your healing discs, just from earlier this year when we were both at, you know, the most recent Healing Touch Worldwide conference in California. Mm-hmm. And that is that you were generous enough to donate one of your healing discs to the foundation, the Healing Touch Worldwide Foundation. And we use that as a raffle to raise money for the foundation. And oh, I wanted that disc so much. I bought a bunch of raffle tickets and put them in to get your disc. And, you know, for our listeners, I was leaving from that conference to go on a 4-month journey around the world. And literally from that conference, I was leaving and I ended up being the ticket chosen to get your disc that corresponds with the heart chakra. And I was able to bring that all over the world with me. And what I was called to do in many places was to put your disc on the earth itself and experience the healing that it did, that it enacted in doing that. And so for me, that was just this huge, like, supposed to happen. Like, I feel like I was supposed to not only have that disc, you know, for myself, but I was supposed to bring that around the world with me and place it on the earth wherever I was. I went to 8 different countries. And so I just, you know, I'm just speaking to the power of your artwork. And particularly, that was my first time working with your discs ever, and how beautiful of a way that I don't even know that you've ever, have you ever even experienced anybody else using the discs in that way, you know, kind of as earth healing or place healing? I guess they definitely raise the vibration of wherever they are.
I was, first of all, I was so excited for you when I was like willing you to be the one that was chosen for the disc. I was so excited and so excited that you were going to be traveling with it and placing it on the ground. I have certainly been called to do that with the discs myself.
Oh, good.
And have done it numerous times in different places. But also people have even done it with the card deck. So the card deck has been on many sacred journeys with many different people. It's been to Machu Picchu and the cards have been selected and laid on the ground there. They've been to Egypt and the Great Pyramid. So many people have taken them to many different places. So even if the discs are not something that people feel that they're able to travel with, the card deck is something that you can do something very, very similar with. And it's just wonderful. And I love it because I truly believe that this work is not just for us as humans, it's for the planet.
Absolutely.
And in workshops and many special occasions, I will lay the artwork on the floor within a room. And that also is sending the healing down into the planet as well.
Right. Yep. And I remember being at a conference with you, I believe in Albany, New York, a few years ago, where you did just that. Place things on the ground. I'm just, what a beautiful way. You know, I didn't even, sometimes you have to think outside yourself, right? I didn't even think, what a wonderful way people all over, you know, the world who have bought your art are obviously taking it places. And what a beautiful way to bring the vibrations that you channeled through your artwork and have them, you know, go worldwide and not even necessarily know where they're going, but knowing that
right.
The vibration of them is helping to raise the vibration of all those places. It's, I mean, it almost sounds like grid work, you know, like actual earth healing grid work. It's incredible.
It is. Yeah. No doubt. But that's what
I just take it with me wherever. It has a space in my back, in my travel backpack whenever I'm
right.
Not at home. So the disc is with me all the time. And actually, like, I have your cards as well. So that is another thing that I didn't even think of. But actually, the disc talks to me and wants to travel with me. So I'll keep that going for now.
The other beautiful thing about doing that with it being in your backpack is that it's then within your energetic field while
exactly.
You're out in the world. And so it is constantly supporting you from inside the backpack.
Yep.
And then you can get it out and that interaction become more intimate. I always have one with me also.
Okay.
And I feel it's a really, our world is somewhat chaotic outside. And the more we can support ourselves when we are entering these more chaotic environments, the better off we are going to be. So I think it's a great benefit to do that. I do not leave home without one.
No, it makes sense. It makes sense not to. And I'm just, you know, I'm just like even remembering even these past couple of months, especially while I was traveling and in the aftermath while I was coming back and just trying to integrate everything that I had done and learned, like using that disc over my heart chakra, it's such a calming, it's an instantaneously like calming and releasing gesture that I mean, that's also part of why I keep it with me wherever I go. It's, and I only have the heart chakra one, and you have a whole set of discs that go together. It's imagine yes. how powerful that is. And I know a few people who have the set of your discs. So
yeah. And in actual fact, there is another set as well, and another set on the way. So there,
really
very, very shortly, there will be three sets available.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. Well, it works perfectly into my next question. My next question is, in what ways are you working with your art now? What's coming through you right now? If you want to share anything that has been on your radar, you're working on.
So right now, which one do I answer first? I am sitting at my table in my studio, and I am surrounded by this new set of discs, which is in the process of being tested and evaluated by a few very close energy workers that I know. And these are called the Rays of Creation. And they are just getting such incredible write-ups from these particular energy workers. But interestingly enough, they actually have all three sets of discs. So the first set of discs is a set of six, and they're called personal empowerment discs. They are amongst the first images that I did back in 2003, between 2003 and 2005. And they have keywords like healing, joy, abundance, wisdom, love, and new dreams. And so they're very general. They help us in a very general way. The next set is the chakra key healing disc. There's 11 of those. So they cover the traditional seven major chakras, and then there's four additional ones, the soul star, the stellar gateway, the high heart, and the earth star. And together they make an absolutely amazing and incredible set. And then this newest set, the Rays of Creation, each disc is a different color, a different ray. And they're all based on sacred geometry. And woven into each one of them is violet for the violet flame. And so helping to clear whatever it is that color works with, to clear the blockages that are related to that particular challenge or event or circumstance.
How many will there be of the new ones?
There's 12 rays, and then there is a 13th disc, which actually has all 12 rays in it, all 12 colors.
Wow. I can't wait to see that.
I know. And the third level, certainly to begin with, will only be going to practitioners. The first two sets are available for anybody who wishes to purchase either singles or trios or the full set. But mm-hmm. this third set will go only to practitioners and only as a full set, because they have been painted as an integral set. It was a very complex way in which they were created, but they are all so linked together that they need to go out to work as a set. And so that's a very exciting thing coming up in the very near future.
That's an amazing idea. I mean, of course, it makes sense, you know, to have them as a set that need to be used as a set. So how do you see practitioners working with that set?
Well, again, simply having them in your treatment room makes a huge and significant difference. Mm-hmm. And then some of the practitioners just intuitively know which disc to use with a particular client. And very frequently, one of the practitioners who's jumping into my mind, she will choose a disc, and she's finding that the most common place to place it is over the heart chakra. Wow. And then she does the energy work that she normally does. And she found that using any of the discs is just making a tremendous difference to every session that she does. And she would not like to be without them. And so it's just been tremendous, tremendous feedback. And as I say, the use is very simple. She actually energy tests for each person. She says, do I need a disc? Yes or no. Is it from the empowerment discs? Yes or no. Is it from the chakras or is it from the rays? And so she then knows which of the different sets she's going to be using. And sometimes she's using a disc from each set on the same person at the same time.
Sure. Okay.
And then she continues with her normal protocols with the discs sitting in place. Occasionally she will hold one in her hand, and as she moves her hand to do the energy work, she will have the energy flowing through the disc within her hand to the patient or the client.
Beautiful. And actually, a question's coming up for you, Barbara. I recently have moved my practice to being primarily in person to being primarily remote healing now. And I know that there's a lot of practitioners in the energetic arts that are doing remote work for a variety of reasons. Do you have any thoughts about incorporating your tools as someone who does remote energy?
Yes, they are incredible to do that with. And not only the discs, but the card deck can be used in that way. And also, we've recently chosen five of my images and made them into very large silk scarves, which are a bit like a silk healing blanket. And they are being incorporated into both in-person but also distance healing sessions. And I could actually send you a photograph of one of the, I call them energy grids, but basically they're distance healing sessions. I can send you a photograph of one of those, and you can be able to see how that all works together. It's been phenomenal. My daughter has some surgery on her left lower arm, just above her wrist, and I set up an energy grid while she was in surgery and then left it in place, supporting her energetically over the next few days after the surgery. She certainly recovered very well. So I was very happy.
I love that. Yeah, and it's lovely to know. I know that we can use these tools for distance. I like to bring this up so that our listeners can know what is possible, even if you're not, you know, right next to an energy worker, right next to somebody who does healing arts. These things are transmitted because space and time are constructs in this, you know, in this earthly dimension, but aren't really barriers in the grand scheme of things.
So,
this has been so wonderful, Barbara. Is there anything else coming to mind right now that you are feeling like it would be a good idea to share or to plug? I would love to have you share a little bit about your practitioner training program. If you feel like talking about that.
Well, certainly my practitioner training program is one of the big passions in my life at the moment. For anyone who is listening, who is intrigued by all of this, and if you are already a practitioner of some sort, and I've had a very wide spectrum of practitioners come from MDs and naturopaths, doctors of oriental medicine, healing touch practitioners, Eden energy medicine, psychotherapists. So it's just a vast range of people have come to do the course. And it's run from my home. And a bit like Renata, and probably more so, I have some of this work in every room of the house.
And yes. So
the energy of the...
Probably more so, but I'm going to catch up to you.
Okay. That the energy of the place is kind of set. Somebody told me it feels like walking into a pure mountain spring when you walk into our house. So you're doing this course within this energetically beautiful environment, and you are immersed in these energies for 3 days. The intention of this immersion is that you get to know these energies intimately. And in the process, it is like you receive a reset and an upgrade. It really is a time of self-growth, of expansion, of your gifts and talents being magnified. And at the same time, you're learning how to use these both in the Art of Raising Frequency protocol, which my guides, I would say, designed for me, which can be put together in a sort of 45-minute to one-hour protocol. And everybody learns how to do that protocol and receives it. But then from that, it's, well, how can you integrate it into what it is that you do? How can you integrate it with the skills that you already have to take your own work to the next level? So it's not like throw out everything that you've ever done and do this instead. It's how do you choose the pieces that are going to work best for you and your clients or your patients? One of the attendees at the first class that I ran said afterwards, she said, I feel like I arrived at your house as a little toddler in diapers, and I left at the end of the course with a college degree.
Wow.
So it is an amazing experience, very, very tremendously supportive and uplifting, and I just love doing it. It's just an incredible, incredible thing. I'm at a point where my passion is to get this work into the world. My passion is to teach so that practitioners can use it with their clients and their patients, that they can then share it with those clients and patients. The clients and patients can begin to introduce it into their life. And it's not something that I can do on my own. I need supporters from the world who are also going to help this to get out to where it can do its work.
Right.
I think of them almost as this art is like a gift from above. And so I am always looking for people who love it as much as I do and are also able to help to get it out into the world to do its work.
I love that. And I felt my vibration raising just as you were explaining your home and the course itself. It feels very next level.
Uh-huh. And of course, we also do, we talk about the distance healing, and there will be even more of that in this coming November course, because more and more experience of that has been taking place. We've got case studies to share, all sorts of amazing things. And I will have a co-teacher for that who did the course a couple of years ago.
Beautiful. Wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing that. How can listeners find out more about you, Barbara? Where can they go to connect with you more and see your art and what you're doing?
Tremendous amounts of information on my website. That is www.artofraisingfrequency.com. I'd be very pleased for people to get in touch, to come to conferences, to learn about it in every way you possibly can. But there is a tremendous amount of information on the website, and also a gallery where you can look at all the different images. There's a section about the different types of creation that there are, about the discs, the books. There are coloring books, there's a pendant, there's a silk scarf. So lots and lots and lots to explore.
I am so grateful to you for joining us today. I think we'll leave it there. Is there anything else that you feel like sharing right now, Barbara?
Just to say thank you, both to you, Renata, and also to all of the listeners for being there, for listening, for enjoying and participating in this world of awakening that we find ourselves in.
I haven't had an episode like this yet, Barbara, and incorporating healing and art in this way. And I'm just so thrilled that you've made the space for me today. So, and I'm sure our listeners are getting a lot out of this. So I really just want to thank you again so much for being here.
It was delightful to be your guest. So absolutely thank you for inviting me.
I want to thank Barbara Evans once again for joining me for this Zoom interview. Thank you so much, Barbara. I hope you all enjoyed that interview. I know that I did. Barbara has been kind enough to give our patrons, our Patreon community, the Let's Get Meta Patreon community, a wonderful, unique meditation for our bonus content this week. So if you are at all interested in hearing that, please visit patreon.com/letsgetmeta. If you're not already a patron, please consider joining up for $2 a month. You will help keep this podcast going and get amazing bonus content that is only for our patrons. Thank you, and we will see you next time.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. Let's Get Metaphysical is entirely listener supported. If you like what we're doing, please consider becoming a patron of the podcast at patreon.com/letsgetmeta. Our intention is to raise the vibration of the planet by sharing, validating, and normalizing spiritual and metaphysical experiences. If you haven't pledged yet, we'd really appreciate your support. It helps keep this show going. Let's Get Metaphysical is a production of the Hana Healing Arts Network. The show's host is Renata Maniacci. The music for this podcast was composed by Rob Trefort of GoldenTurtleSound.org. Thank you for listening. Stay meta.
Physical.